In other news, a 22-year-old Micah David Melicaro of Woodbine was sentenced on Friday in district court as well on charge of unlawful user of a controlled substance in possession of a firearm. U.S. District Court Judge Stephanie M. Rose sentenced Melicaro to 30 months imprisonment, followed by 3 years of supervised release. Melicaro also had to forfeit two shotguns and ammunition he possessed and was ordered to pay $100 to the Crime Victim Fund. Melicaro is currently on release pending his serving location designation. Melicaro had pled guilty to the charge, which arose out of an emergency medical call to his residence in Woodbine. He had accidentally shot a friend at close range with a 12-gauge shotgun, and that victim is currently recovering. During response to that incident, Harrison County Sheriff's deputies then observed a marijuana-growing operation at Melicaro's residence. As part of his federal plea agreement, Melicaro must also plead guilty in district court to manufacturing marijuana. That investigation was conducted by the Harrison County Sheriff's Department along with other agencies and was prosecuted by the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Southern District of Iowa. Mills County Sheriff's Office reports the arrest on Valentine's Day of 50-year-old Casey Renee Bates of Red Oak. Bates was arrested in Malvern on Thursday afternoon on charges of aiding and abetting, trespassing, possession of a controlled substance, possession of drug paraphernalia, and two counts of possessing contraband. Her bond was set at $17,300. Also arrested that day was 50-year-old John Michael Hudson of Hastings, who was taken into custody for burglary in the third degree, trespassing, theft in the third degree, driving under suspension, and failure to wear a seatbelt. Hudson was arrested at the same time and location as Bates. His bond was set at $7,900. Sheriff's officials also report that the arrest of Thursday of 33-year-old Penny Jo Bent, the Malvern woman, was arrested following a traffic stop near the intersection of 315th Street and Highway 34. She was charged with driving while revoked. Bond was set at $1,000. Iowa's insurance commissioner has submitted paperwork outlining information about the upcoming state-federal health insurance partnership. Nick Gerhardt submitted documents late Thursday to U.S. Health and Human Resources Secretary Kathleen Sebelius. The blueprint hashes out details about how Iowans can buy their health insurance. The documents say Iowa will retain a lot of management control in the exchange. That includes regulating insurance plans and determining eligibility for Medicaid and children's health insurance programs. The Iowa Insurance Division also will oversee companies participating in the exchange and its qualified health plans. Federal health officials now need to accept the paperwork. The exchange will be implemented in Iowa by January 1st of 2014. An accident in Harlan last Sunday caused a sort of domino effect that resulted in damage to another vehicle. According to the Harlan Police Department, 19-year-old Dylan Hansen of Harlan was traveling too fast southbound on 8th Street and lost control of the 1995 Ford he was driving as he attempted to turn left onto Farnham Street. The vehicle entered a yard and hit a tree. A limb from the tree then broke off and fell on a 2012 Honda registered to Elizabeth Austin of Overland Park, Kansas, which was legally parked on the south side of Farnham Street. Damage from the incident amounted to $7,000. Hansen was cited for driving without a valid license, driving a non-registered vehicle, reckless driving, failure to maintain control, and a failure to hold accident insurance. The Iowa Supreme Court says farmers who host educational tours are not shielded from personal injury lawsuits under Iowa's recreational use law. The court ruled 5-2 on Friday that the owners of a dairy farm can be sued by a chaperone injured when she fell through a hole in a hayloft during a kindergarten class field trip. The Iowa Farm Bureau had warned that allowing farmers to face liability would jeopardize tours that teach children about animals and farming. The group says farmers may no longer host such events if they're worried about lawsuits. At issue is a law that bars injury lawsuits against landowners who open their land for public recreational uses, such as snowmobiling and hunting. The court says playing on a hayloft in a barn doesn't qualify. The U.S. Department of Agriculture will open a four-week general sign-up for the Conservation Reserve Program on May 20th. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack plans to make the formal announcement on Saturday at the National Pheasant Fest and Quail Classic in Minneapolis. He says in a statement to the Associated Press that CRP was vital in last summer's drought. He says it protected sensitive land from erosion, while emergency haying and grazing on CRP lands provided critical livestock feed and forage. Around 27 million acres are enrolled in the CRP, a voluntary program that pays farmers to keep environmentally sensitive land out of production, typically for 10 to 15 years. The goals are to improve water quality, control erosion, and enhance wildlife habitat. Contracts on about 3.3 million acres are set to expire on September 30th. U.S. Cellular, in conjunction with its partner King Street Wireless, has announced that additional parts of Iowa will receive high-speed 4G LTE service by the end of 2013. Some cities in the 4G LTE addition include Atlantic, Carroll, Centerville, Creston, Emmitsburg, Estherville, Spencer, Spirit Lake, and Storm Lake. The company says more Iowans will enjoy access to 4G LTE speeds that are up to 10 times faster than 3G and similar to a cable internet connection. 4G speeds provide an enhanced wireless experience with fast web browsing, smooth video streaming, video chatting with no buffering, and speedy app downloads. U.S. Cellular currently offers many devices that are 4G capable. And by the end of 2013, U.S. Cellular says its customers in more than 3,800 additional cities and towns will have access to 4G speeds. Currently, 61% of their customers have access. 87% are expected to be covered by the end of the year. The Cass County Soil and Water Conservation District is partnering with the Atlantic Public Library to sponsor a conservation poster contest. This year's theme is Where Does Your Watershed? Students ages K through 12 can participate. Schools in Cass County also have the poster contest information. Posters may be created at the Atlantic Public Library. Julie Jepkes, a youth coordinator with the Atlantic Public Library, will have materials available. All posters must be completed by Friday, March the 29th. Posters will be judged locally by the Cass Soil and Water Conservation District Commissioner by May 17th. All posters need to have an entry form attached to the back of the poster, and first place selections are forwarded to the Conservation Districts of Iowa Regional Directors, in which a first place poster is selected from each age group. State winning posters will be displayed in September at the 2013 annual conference in Des Moines. Last year, Danielle Haas submitted a poster which was selected to move on to regional competition. Her poster also received a first place in the 7th through 9th grade age group. Prizes are awarded at a local level along with prizes for regional selection winners. For more information on the poster contest, you can contact Julie Jepkes at the Atlantic Public Library or contact the Cass Soil and Water Conservation District office at 712-243-3180. And the Mills County Sheriff's Office reports the arrest on Wednesday of 30-year-old Keith Allen Wilson II of Glenwood, who was arrested in Glenwood on a warrant for probation violation. Wilson was being held in the Mills County Jail on $5,000 bond. And on Tuesday, deputies in Mills County arrested 56-year-old Stephen Craig Severin of Glenwood for driving while barred. Severin's bond was set at $1,000. Authorities in Adams County say a car reported stolen from an undisclosed location in Cass County on February 2nd was recovered on Tuesday morning in a ditch west of Prescott. The vehicle was found near the intersection of 150th and Orange Streets. The four-door Mercury has since been returned to the owner. Anyone with information about the theft is asked to contact the Adams County Sheriff's Office at 641-322-4444. Take a look at world headlines now here at this hour. Oscar Pistorius' uncle says the Olympic athlete is numb with shock as well as grief over the shooting death of his girlfriend at his home in South Africa. The runner remains in custody at a Pretoria police station, and prosecutors say they will pursue a charge of premeditated murder against him. Arnold Pistorius says the family strongly refutes any murder charge against him, but in an interview with the AP and two South African journalists, he did not elaborate on what led to the shooting. Finance ministers and central bankers from the world's 20 leading industrial and developing countries have pledged not to target their exchange rates for competitive purposes. The two-day meeting in Moscow ended with a joint communique that included a promise that the G20 members would refrain from competitive devaluation and resist all forms of protectionism and keep markets open. The sequester scare could become more real in the next 2 weeks as the budget battle heats up in Washington. Sure to be prominent are the intensifying crescendo of warnings about how crucial popular government services are about to wither. President Barack Obama and congressional Republicans made no progress last week in heading off $85 billion in budget-wide cuts that automatically start taking effect on March 1st. Congress has next week off. A temporary plan that helps people with medical problems who can't get private insurance is winding down due to financial concerns. Administration officials say the pre-existing condition insurance plan will stop taking new applications. Beginning next January 1st, insurance companies will be prohibited from turning people down for pre-existing conditions. The Coast Guard says an Alaska man arrested in last year's shooting deaths of two employees at a Coast Guard communications station on Kodiak Island was a co-worker of the victims. Federal prosecutors say James Michael Wells worked as a civilian Coast Guard employee at the communications station at the time. Now taking a look here at your funeral announcements here this morning. Elaine Kinty, age 94, of Greenfield, died on Tuesday at the Good Samaritan Society in Fontenelle. Funeral services for Elaine Kinty will be held today at 10:30 a.m. at the Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Margaret Mary Heasey, age 82, of Las Vegas, Nevada, died February 6th in Omaha. A massive Christian burial service for Margaret Heasey will be held on Saturday at 11 a.m. at the St. Joseph Catholic Church in Erling. Polly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. Sheila Ann Hopp, age 68, of Harlan, died on Monday at her home. Funeral services for Sheila Ann Hopp will be held on Saturday here today at 11 a.m. at the St. John's Lutheran Church in Council Bluffs. Polly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Catherine Johnson, age 72, of Fontenelle, died December 19th at the Mercy Medical Center in Des Moines. Memorial services for Catherine Johnson will be held Saturday at 11 a.m. at the First Presbyterian Church in Greenfield. A luncheon will follow the service at the church. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield is in charge of the arrangements. Timothy James Glenn, age 30, of Winterset, died on Monday. A memorial service for Timothy Glenn will be held on Saturday at 2 p.m. at the Redfield American Legion Hall. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Dexter has the arrangements. Sean Lee Gustin, age 42, of Cumming, died on Wednesday. Services for Sean Lee Gustin will be held on Monday at 10 a.m. at the Lutheran Church of Hope in West Des Moines. Hamilton's Funeral Home in Des Moines has the arrangements. Joyce I. McConnelly, age 86, of Atlantic, died on Monday at the Heritage House in Atlantic. A graveside service for Joyce I. McConnelly will be held on Monday at 11:30 a.m. in the Atlantic Cemetery. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home of Atlantic has the arrangements. Michael P. Dennis, age 65, of Atlantic, died on Thursday at the Exara Care Center. Services for Michael Dennis will be held on Monday at 2:30 p.m. in the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. Bernard Neary, age 85, of Audubon, died on Friday at the Friendship Home in Audubon. Funeral services for Bernard Neary will be held on Tuesday, 10:30 a.m. in the Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon. Carol Trimmel, age 60, of Harlan, died Thursday at her home. A massive Christian burial for Carol Trimmel will be held on Tuesday at 11 a.m. The St. Michael's Catholic Church in Harlan. Polly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. Meryl Spry, age 74, of Anita, died on Thursday at the Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. Services for Meryl Spry will be held on Wednesday at 10:30 a.m. at the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Anita. And Judith Clark Belknap, age 73, of Oakland, died on Friday at the Oakland Manor Nursing Home. Services are pending for Judith Clark Belknap at the Reconvene Funeral Home in Oakland. They have arrangements. That's a look at your latest news and funeral announcements this 8 o'clock hour on KJAN. I'm Chris Parks, KJAN News.